Iran marks final day of the Persian New Year holiday known as Sizdebedar. Iran says West changed its approach toward Iran because of Tehran's growing power. Iran calls for the immediate expulsion of MKO terrorists from Iraq. UN Secretary General warns about tensions simmering on the Korean Peninsula. And unemployment across Eurozone gets over 12% for the first time. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. The Iranian families marked the final day of the Persian New Year holiday on Tuesday with picnics, songs, and games in parks. Sizdebedar, the 13th day of the Nowruz Spring Festival celebrations, is considered an ominous day, so Iranian residents choose to counteract this by spending time outdoors in the sunshine. Iranians adhere to various traditions to end the New Year holiday.
As an ancient belief, Sizdebedar is an unlucky and ominous day in our culture, and that is why everybody comes out on this day. In fact, this being outdoors is a kind of showing happiness to overcome that unlucky day.
At the end of our New Year holiday is Sizdebedar, that is celebrated according to our tradition, and people spend the last day of the New Year holiday by going outdoors and to parks.
Iran's foreign minister says West attempts to change its approach toward Iran from one of confrontation to interaction because it has realized that the Islamic Republic is the most powerful nation in the Middle East. Ali Akbar Salehi said the West has reached the conclusion that the Islamic Republic is the most powerful country in the Middle East, so it is now trying to turn its confrontational approach into one of interaction. Salehi reminded that the Islamic Republic supports the rights of the oppressed and communicates its just words without reservations. The top Iranian diplomat further described the wave of Islamic awakening across the Muslim world as an outcome of Iran's 1979 Islamic Revolution and the ensuing establishment of the Islamic Republic. Describing leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, as unique throughout the world, he emphasized that Iranian officials and people must act under the leader's guidelines and ensure that Ayatollah Khamenei's motto for the Iranian New Year political epic, economic epic, is realized. The Iranian intelligence minister has called for the immediate expulsion of MKO terrorists from Iraq. Haydar Musli said based on the arrangements made, the MKO must leave Iraq soil as quickly as possible. MKO terrorists, blamed for the assassination of many Iranian people and officials after the 1979 Islamic Revolution, fled to Iraq in the 1980s, where they enjoyed the support of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. Elsewhere, the Iranian intelligence minister hailed Iraqi forces for their effective handling of security in the country and pledged that Iran will transfer its security expertise and experience that it has gained battling terrorism over the past three decades to the Iraqi government. The Iranian intelligence minister also met with the Speaker of the Iraqi Parliament, emphasizing the need for ridding the nation of a foreign intervention and maintaining national unity among its diverse ethnic groups. Iran's deputy permanent representative to the UN has reiterated Tehran's proposal for a Middle East free of nuclear arms, blaming the Zionist regime for hampering efforts to cleanse the entire region of all nuclear weapons. Ghulam Hussein Dehghani also pointed blame for hampering efforts to cleanse the entire region of all nuclear weapons. Ghulam Hussein Dehghani also pointed to the Zionists' bid to oppose and obstruct an Iranian initiative to rid the Middle East of all atomic warheads. In his address to the UN Disarmament Commission meeting, Dehghani also pointed to Iran's insistence that all UN amendments for freeing the Middle East and the world from nuclear arms must be implemented. He emphasized that the eradication of all atomic weapons across the globe is the only ultimate guarantee for removing this threat. calling for the total eradication of such nuclear arms. Tehrani further expressed regret about the slow progress of the issue of nuclear disarmament at the United Nations. A mortar attack by the foreign-backed militants in Syria has killed at least four people near the capital, Damascus. Syria's state-run television reported that Tuesday's shell hit a house near Damascus and that the victims included two kids. Also on Tuesday, a number of people were injured in mortar shelling on Al-Fahiya orchards in central Damascus. The shellings were reported after the Syrian military forces thwarted an infiltration attempt by militants to enter the country through its border with the neighboring Lebanon. Security sources said a number of terrorists were killed and injured in the fire exchange, while the rest fled into the Lebanese territories. In a separate incident, a unit of the Syrian armed forces confronted a terrorist group's attack on a military checkpoint on a suburb of Homs, killing and injuring the civilians. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has warned about tensions simmering on the Korean Peninsula, saying the crisis must be resolved through dialogue. Speaking at a news conference in Andorra, Ban said, "The current crisis has already gone too far and things must begin to calm down." He said dialogue and negotiations are the only way to resolve the current crisis in the Korean Peninsula. Earlier in the day, Pyongyang announced that it would restart operations at the country's main nuclear complex, which was closed in 2007 as part of an international nuclear disarmament deal. This comes after the U.S. sent a guided missile destroyer to the southwestern coast of the Korean Peninsula to defend against a possible North Korean rocket launch. And now a recap of our top stories. Iran marks final day of the Persian New Year holiday known as Sizdebedar. Iran says West changed its approach toward Iran because of Tehran's growing power. Iran calls for the immediate expulsion of MKO terrorists from Iraq. UN Secretary General warns about tensions simmering in the Korean Peninsula. And unemployment across Eurozone gets over 12% for the first time. Protesters have staged an anti-regime demonstration in Saudi Arabia's eastern province, calling for the release of senior Shiite cleric Sheikh Namr al-Namr. The demonstrators took to the streets in the city of Alamia, located in the country's Katif region, chanting anti-regime slogans despite a ban imposed by the regime on public gatherings. On March 28, a Saudi prosecutor reportedly demanded the death penalty for Sheikh Namr al-Namr on charges of aiding terrorists and instigating unrest in the kingdom. Sheikh Namr was attacked, injured, and arrested by Saudi security forces en route to his house in the Katif region of Eastern Province on July 8, 2012. The cleric had called for the release of all those detained in protests against the Saudi regime and all the prisoners of conscience. His arrest sparked protests in Eastern Province. According to Saudi activists, most of the detained political activists are being held by the regime without trial or charges. Zionist regime prison guards fired tear gas to quell protests by Palestinian inmates on Tuesday after a prisoner serving a life sentence died in prison. His death is expected to raise tensions in the occupied West Bank, where Palestinians have held several protests in recent weeks in support of prisoners. He's the second Palestinian to die in Zionist regime custody this year. Another prisoner died after an interrogation session in February. Hamas condemned the death as a serious development.
Hamas movement is watching the situation of the Palestinian prisoners and worries about them, especially after the death of the prisoner Maysara Abu Hameida this morning at one of the Israeli prisons, which portends of the danger which threatens the lives of the Palestinian prisoners. After this serious development, we can assure you that the Hamas movement is discussing with the Palestinian factions the options for dealing with this Israeli crime.
Unemployment across the 17 European Union countries that use the euro has struck 12% for the first time since the currency was launched in 1999. The EU Statistics Office, Eurostat, said the rate in February was unchanged at the record high after January's figure was revised up to 12% from 11.9%. Spain and Greece have mass unemployment, and many other countries are seeing their numbers swell to uncomfortably high levels. The worry in the markets is also that the chaos surrounding the Cyprus bailout has reignited concerns over the euro.
We definitely have the euro crisis back, and that is certainly because of the stupidity of politicians who discredited the deposit insurance.
I have a son who has almost graduated from university. Do you think it's fair that I have killed myself to send my son to university?
The Cyprus finance minister resigned on Tuesday after an investigation was ordered into how the country's economy nearly collapsed last month. The government said the president accepted the resignation, who faced strong criticism for his handling of Cyprus negotiations with its international creditors. The finance minister, who had headed the country's troubled Laiki Bank last year in a bid to save it from collapse, told reporters he decided to step down to ease the investigation ordered earlier on Tuesday.
To make the investigation committee's task easier, the right thing was to give my resignation to the president, which I did.
Today's tragic economic situation and of the people is without a doubt the result of a series of factors and is without a doubt the result of many internal and external factors, a continuity of acts and admissions from people responsible for the economy and the banking sector that brought the country to the brink of bankruptcy and to the destruction of one of the biggest banks and to the loss of billions in deposits.
Meanwhile, the head of Cyprus Civil Servants Trade Union Workers said his party cannot handle proposed new cuts as government and Troika finalize a painful austerity package.
Until now, there have been sweeping cutbacks for civil servants that reach 35% of their wages. If we add the 3% which will apply from the first of the month of the next year, then we'll reach 38%. Recently, proposals were made for more cutbacks. Civil servants cannot handle all these cuts. If on the side of the European Union there had been an act of solidarity and a proper treatment of the issue, they could have saved us with fewer funds than those they gave us, funds which will destroy us.
Meantime, Italians also say they're concerned for their future as President Giorgio Napolitano begins meetings with a panel of experts he appointed to help find a way out of the country's political deadlock.
It is the usual mess. Decisions that are totally inadequate and with no respect to what the Constitution says. Solutions that are far removed from reality. Basically, what I think is that all this will lead to an ugly end for us.
I want to say to these people that they are all in it for themselves, from the first to the last.
No figures show that poverty is on the rise in the U.S., as the number of people receiving food stamps has soared to a record high of almost 15 million Americans. The number of Americans who are enrolled in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program has increased by 70% since 2008 to 47.8 million as of December 2012. According to recently published figures by the Wall Street Journal, a staggering 15% of the American population is receiving food stamps, which is almost double the rate of 1975. Looking at American children, almost half of all kids receive benefits, including nearly 10 million who already live in extreme poverty. And finally, a data analysis shows that air pollution has killed more than 1.2 million people in China in 2010. A study conducted by the University of Washington, World Health Organization and Health Effects Institute also found that air pollution has resulted in death of 3.2 million people worldwide in 2010. Study also indicated that outdoor air pollution, which is the sixth most common killer in South Asia, has claimed the lives of at least 620,000 people in India. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.